You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
If you remember back to last week, I said there was a cause and effect, and the actual title was redemption. Cause, effect, but God wants to save us from that. Previous to that, we talked about hurting God. How do we know we hurt God? When we hurt each other, we hurt God. And the week before that, I said about forgetting God being one of our greatest battles. And you probably all at the time went, forgetting God isn't really one of my battles. But then when we stopped and we paused for a moment and said, when I'm in a desperate place, do I instantly run to God or do I forget God and I try all this other stuff and then I go, God wasn't in the equation. And we find we forget God. We forget him. We hurt him. That leads to a cause and effect. But all the while, God is for us and he loves us and he pursues us. So last week we looked at some of this cause and effect. It was quite an interesting service. There were lots of things that were going on and I felt there was an enemy that wanted to just attack us as church last week. And I think when you start rooting the enemy out, when you start putting your finger on something, somebody said to me this last week, you need to preach on that a lot more than if that's what's shaking his cage. But we talk about cause and effect. And what we said was there was a cause and that cause goes on to create an event, and that event leads to, in this situation, which was a painful effect. Now, what we said was we try and get rid of that painful effect, but actually it doesn't go away. So if we try and get rid of it, it disappears. We think it's gone, but actually it hasn't. And what it does, it comes back and it adds to the root cause. Now, the root cause then creates another event, and that event leads to a more painful effect, which leads to a bigger cause, accentuating it, creates a bigger event, which leads to a more painful effect. And you can see where this is going. It goes round and round and round. Why would a God that loves us so much allow that sort of thing to happen? That was the question that was asked, and I think we all kind of experience that. It can go round and round and round until eventually we pop. It's because God wants to get back to, which is the root cause. The root cause. And actually, we said the root cause last week, the thing that separates us, or that causes the most problem, is our separation from God. It is that broken relationship with him. We used to walk, and it says Adam and Eve used to walk in the garden with him. That was in perfect communion. They just walked with each other. And that relationship is broken and they were separated. And what's quite interesting this week, our reflection, that's what I'm calling it, our reflection is God's holiness and our sin. What separated us from God was that we'd exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And we'll find that daily something comes along and tries to rob us or tell us something about God which is untrue, and it wants to rob us of that relationship. If we get back to the root cause of our problem, which is broken, which is our relationship with God, if we get that bit fixed, and we've done something here called firm foundations, if we get our firm foundations right, then he can build his kingdom on our lives. And that's what he's after. So God's holiness and our sin, are his motivations good? Are his motivations true? Are his motivations perfect? As we saw last week, it's recorded in Genesis, God did have that perfect relationship with Adam and Eve. His perfect love and holiness in perfect relationship with those he created in his image. Goes back to remember the hurting God bit. We hurt each other, made in God's image, we are hurting God. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, they listened to the devil, and sin entered the world. Because God's holy nature could not live in perfect harmony with that brokenness, Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. That's what we read. It's back there in Genesis, Genesis 3. You can carry on reading. Our sin separates us. So as I was looking at holiness this week, there's so many different things that people were saying to me about holiness. But actually, I found a little devotional reading, and it said this. It said, "So great is the holiness of God, and so great was the depth of our sin, that a veil was placed between us and our Heavenly Father, a veil that signified the horrific separation of God and man." And actually, if we go back into the Old Testament, into Exodus, there's a description of this veil. It says, "Make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, with cherubim woven into it by a skilled worker. Hang it on the gold hooks of the four posts of acacia wood, overlaid with gold, standing on four silver bases. Hang the curtain from the clasps and place the Ark of the Covenant law behind the curtain. The curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place." So that's quite a lot to set up this little scenario. It's quite important, all of this. Why is it so important? Why is this veil there? It said, only one man chosen to go before God as Israel's representative was allowed to pass through the veil once a year on the Day of Atonement. And so great was God's holiness. This is the key bit. So great was God's holiness and our sin that if anyone else was to enter, the power of God's holiness would kill them. So great was God's holiness and our sin that if anybody else was to enter, the power of God's holiness would kill them. So just to open our eyes and do some open heart surgery this morning, I want us just to think about this from God's perspective. I know we've said in the past, you know, oh yeah, I've broken some of God's laws, I'll try better next time. But what really struck me when we opened up Hosea was, we broke God's heart in that process. It wasn't just that, oh, I did wrong. I actually upset my Heavenly Father, and I'd never thought about it in those terms before. It probably was a bit, oh, Darren, you've done it again, you know? But actually, when did I turn around and go, God, I'm really sorry. That broke your heart. So I want us to understand a bit of a tension here this morning. God loves us so very much, but his holiness means he cannot dwell with us because of our brokenness. We're not his perfect creation anymore. And if we're to come into the presence of that holiness, we would die. Now, I was trying to think of a movie example. I think sometimes when we get a movie, we kind of go, oh, that's the way that works. I understand that. I've seen that movie. But actually, it was kind of a catch-22 kind of scenario that we've got here. Think about this for a moment and stay with me on this one. I don't want it to be complicated. We've got the awful reality of a broken relationship. Yeah? So we've got a broken relationship due to an event, which we spoke about last week, exchange God for a lie. Now, the cost to restore the broken relationship is the death of an innocent party. But if the innocent party dies, there's no longer two to have a relationship. One is taken away. What would be the point of such great sacrifice for somebody that you then never had the relationship with? And as I was thinking about this, I wrestled with this over a couple of days, to be honest with you. Just that, I'd say predicament, but just what God wrestled with in that moment. He loves us so very much. He's for us and he loves us and he wants that restored relationship with us. But in that process of paying the price to restore that relationship, he dies. I don't know if you've ever seen the film Armageddon. I mean, it's got a great title. Meteors heading to Earth. Has anybody seen this one? Yeah, you know the movie. It's heading to Earth. Bruce Willis and his team are sent up into space to destroy this meteor that's heading to the Earth. Bruce Willis has got his beautiful daughter. He's got a loving relationship with that daughter. She loves him very much. But on Bruce Willis's team, the guy in the middle there, he's got a son, his daughter's boyfriend is on his team. And there's a little bit of a tension between father and potential son-in-law. Has anybody else ever experienced that? Yeah. It happens, I'm told. So here they are. They're going off. And as it does in all great movies, what was planned doesn't work out very well. And in order for this meteor to be destroyed, in order for the human race to be saved, somebody is going to have to make a sacrifice. They're going to have to complete this. I hope I'm not ruining the movie for anybody. You can go back and watch it afterwards. Somebody has to make a sacrifice. And the son-in-law says, I'm the hero, I will do that. But Bruce Willis in the middle exchanges places and he takes the place that the son-in-law said he was going to do. He said, you go back and look after my daughter. I'm going to save the world. And Bruce Willis sacrificed his life in that movie so that the world might be saved, but also that his beautiful daughter, who he's got a fantastic relationship with, would be able to go on and have a good life, and also a life with that fella that she's fallen in love with. And I just wondered in that moment, that tension that the father must have gone through thinking about what he was leaving behind with his daughter, but also the tension for the daughter that was going, well, my dad's gone. It's a real tension. And I was trying to think, does that describe what God would have gone through, that tension for us? I know there's a lot of theological issues you can bring out of this morning, so I want to kind of keep this on the surface stuff for us to wrestle with. But I think we really need to think about God's love for us this morning. We need to understand how separated we are from God by the depth of our sin, and how much that incomparable sacrifice God made for us, that he was prepared, we said last week, to redeem us, to buy us back. What a loving God he is. Now, on that day, I imagine Satan thought he'd won. Checkmate in the next few moves. God could not win. Death was finally coming, not only to God's creation, those made in his image, but also to God himself. It would soon be over, and God wasn't getting out of this one. Satan had it all sorted out. I'm going to kill God. I'm going to kill his people. Now, we know the rest of the story of how God transforms Satan's schemes and that wicked plan into what is the most beautiful love story ever told. God alone was prepared to pay a price for you and me. And as we read right at the beginning last time, it said in Genesis 3, he will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. God is talking to the snake. Someone's coming and they're going to defeat you, but in the process, they are going to die. The root cause that we spoke about last week was going to be dealt with right back there at the beginning. God's holiness is incredible. It's incorruptible. It's everlasting. God is just awesome, and he loves us so very much. And if you know that, how would you describe God? If someone said to you, you met them in the street, and you said, they said, oh, are you believing God? What's he like? How would you describe God? You shout your answers out. Loving?
Loving Father.
Loving Father. A rock. Come on, you're bursting. The fellas are up 3-0 at the moment. He's all the time. God is good. A forgiver, yeah. Caring, helpful, almighty. Yes. See, we're getting there now. It gets that flow going. When we start thinking about God, interestingly, nobody shouted it out, but can we describe God as holy? Hold your answers. Can we describe God as holy? I'm going to read you something from R.C. Sproul in his book, which is entitled The Holiness of God. Have a think about this for a moment. He says, we can use the word holy to describe God, but we face a problem. We often describe God by compiling a list of qualities or characteristics that we can call attributes. So that's what we just did a minute ago. We can say God is a spirit, that he knows everything. He's loving, he's merciful, he's gracious, he's almighty, and so on. The tendency is to add the idea of holy to this long list of attributes as one of the attributes amongst many. But when the word holy is applied to God, it doesn't signify one single attribute. He says, on the contrary, God is called holy in a general sense. The word is used as a synonym for his deity. That is, the word holy calls attention to all that God is. So to put that in context, he says, it reminds us that his love is a holy love. Okay? His justice is a holy justice. His mercy is a holy mercy. His knowledge is holy knowledge. And I love this one. His spirit is... It's lovely, isn't it? Let's just open our eyes for a moment about all that God is. His motives, his love for us is so pure. And to go one step deeper, we could be forgiven, particularly in our language today, about how important the holiness of God is, particularly recorded for us in Isaiah 6, as Andrew read to us this morning. It refers to God as holy, holy, holy. Now, I don't know if you think that that's amazing. Maybe when you hear holy, 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 it takes you straight to that song because that's one of the only times you maybe hear it. But the word holy, it means set apart, but we can develop it a little bit further. It also means distinct from all of creation. So he's outside of that. He is holy. It's used over 600 times in the Bible, but only twice is it used as holy, holy, holy. Isaiah 6, and right at the end in Revelation 4. Fantastic. Both times it describes God. So why so special? And this is quite nice. If you've heard this before, you'll know this. But when I heard this for the first time, I was like, whoa, that's really exciting. In Jewish liturgy, if something was very, very important, they would use the word twice. See what I did then? It's very, very important, this. Okay. So Jesus did this when he said things like truly, truly, or verily, verily. He wanted to emphasize the importance. But it also spoke about great intimacy. And you might have recognized this. You might go, oh, yeah, I haven't really picked up on that. When God speaks someone's name twice, he's like saying, come on, it's you and me in the room. We're talking now. In Exodus, you got Moses, Moses. In Genesis, it's Abraham. Abraham, he calls him. Samuel, Samuel. Simon, Simon. Saul, Saul. Even Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And in Scripture, that twice is supremely important. You haven't got a Star Wars t-shirt on this morning, have you? That's a bit disappointing. But think about a movie. If we're trying to say how big something is, what do we actually say in the movies? In a galaxy, far, far away. It's not just far away, it's far, far away. Far, far away. That's a long way, isn't it, Jordan? If something is mentioned three times, the phrase that I got to was everyone seemed to describe it as off the charts. It kind of sounds like a bit of an Americanism, really, like, wow, that's so holy, 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 it's off the chart. But it's kind of, our minds couldn't even begin to understand that something, it wasn't just holy, holy, holy was enough, holy, holy was of supreme importance, but holy, 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 you're just getting silly now. And that is how God's holiness is described. It means that all the evil in this world is actually offensive to God's holiness. We've seen in Hosea earlier on that God will pursue us. He loves us so very much. And those that turn to him and follow him, he has brought us back. But as we've read before, there are some serious consequences to our actions and our thoughts against God. The Bible calls this sin. And as we were mentioning last week, this word sin, it really winds us up sometimes in a particular, I don't like the word sin. But actually, if we're talking about God's standards, or we wound it back and even said my standards, do I live up to my standards? No, I don't live up to my standards. I nowhere near live up to God's standards either. It is a broken relationship. So how does our sin measure up to God's holiness? Now, it's quite interesting. The Christianity Explore course this week was on sin. Our Thursday evening study, when they came along and they were looking at wounds and all those parts of our lives that were broken, they came up against sin. That was the core thing. And as I got to the message this week, bear in mind, all these things are planned at very different times. It's talking about God's holiness and sin. So I really got a sense this week that sin was something God really wanted to unpack for us. those patterns in our lives that keep coming round and round again. Now, what's beautiful about this, and it's not about trying to tell anybody off this morning, it's recognizing that this stuff separates us from God and God wants to do something about it. So really, it's about the Holy Spirit coming in this morning. And if anybody feels got at, what I would say is God is shining a light on those things. I'm not talking about any of your personal situations in the room. When I prepare a message, I never think about those things per se, although God might call me to pray for you. This is about God's standard and how do we measure up. And if he shines a light on those things, we've got to come and we've got to deal with those. God is saying, I want to fix that. I want to fix those bits. So I've nicked the next bit from Thursday evening. It spoke about those sins, those things that separate us from God. And I'm going to whiz through them. I'm not going to do death by PowerPoint by putting them all up on the screen. I'm going to leave that looping around. So as that loops around, and we'll have a time to reflect in a minute. It's not me saying, you're all naughty, because if I do that, what am I doing? Three back and all of that. So I'm never standing here pointing the finger. This is God speaking to us in our lives. If there's some brokenness and you feel God shines a light on that, we need to come before God and say, what do you want to do about that? So what do our patterns look like? This is what they said. Anger. When some of us get angry, it leads on to hate, bitterness, resentment, lies, malice, grudges, temper. Even spoke about murder in the heart. Do you find sometimes you have an irrational rage? Anger. It's a sin. It separates us from God. Self-pity is a sin. Self-abuse, self-hate, self-rejection, self-blame, even so much as suicidal thoughts. Accusation is a sin. Do we suffer from criticism or are we criticizing? Is there judgment and judging? Is there condemnation? Another sin, control. Are we controlling people? We like to manipulate or we're manipulated. Maybe we're a people pleaser. There's domination, there's restraint. The others were jealousy as well. Envy, distrust, gossip, false witness. Even down to passivity. Sat there this morning, indifferent, does it matter? Dejection, maybe even sleepiness. As I said, the list isn't meant to make us feel bad about ourselves. If you do, it's one of the sins. It's self-pity. Yeah? God says, I've come to set you free from all of that stuff. He says, I'm a holy, holy, holy God. My intentions are good. My intentions are pure. I don't want you living with this stuff that separates a perfect relationship between you and me. And that's born out of a love for us, which is so pure. I don't know if we ever think about a purity of that kind of love. I know when my daughter was born, the first one, and I was so amazed at how something so precious could almost give such perfect love back, unconditional love. There was no there was no things that I had to do in order to do that. She just gave me this love in a way I'd never, ever experienced before. So we've got a list, and it's floating around, and we'll leave it up there in a minute to reflect upon. Just think for a moment. 1 Peter 1:14 says this. As obedient children, which we're called to be, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. As obedient children, that's what we're called to be, don't do what you've always done when you once lived without knowing any of this stuff. God is holy and he calls us to be holy. So I want us just to reflect this morning. Three things, and we've got plenty of time to do this. I don't want us to rush in and rush out of God's presence. I want us just to stop and think. That holiness of God, a God who is perfect and loves us in the most amazing way, that says, all that stuff in your life that weighs you down, I want to take it away. I want to get rid of that so that we can have a perfect relationship. So we're going to do three things. I want you to think about those things that separate us from God. I want you just to reflect for a moment what life would be like without God. And then I want you just to take a moment to thank God. So that's where we're heading. But first off, I'm going to leave those things rolling around on the screen. It said that we were by nature completely separated from the love of our Heavenly Father. There's a pattern of behavior that we can find ourselves in. And if you know your pattern of behavior, I know mine. I know where it gets me every time. I need to bring that before God. So there's things that will come up on the screen as far as the video is concerned. You might want to look at those, close your eyes, and confess before God, that is a pattern that I want to be got rid of. And what does confession mean? It means agreeing with God about those things that separate us. That's what we're doing. Nobody's being told off. Again, that separates me. I want to do something about that. So let's take a moment. We've got plenty of time to pause. Just ask God to shine that light on those things he wants to fix. What separates us from God? I think generally we don't have to wait too long for God to just shine those light on those things that we know in our hearts that we probably bring to him time and time again and say, God, I want to sort this out with you. And he says, let's get back to the root cause. I just want you to think, if you're a Christian this morning, God has forgiven us. It's a given. We don't have to earn it. You know this to be true. Even though we don't deserve it, he has forgiven us. But just for a moment, just imagine what life would be like without God's grace and his forgiveness. Could you imagine for a moment what it'd be like without his presence all the days of your life? Just close your eyes maybe for a moment and reflect on that. What would life be like right now without God? And just for a moment, in your heart, I just want you to just express your love for God. Just that thankfulness for facing what was such a difficult, almost impossible situation in our minds, a price that cost him everything to buy us back. Imagine what Gomer, Hosea's wife, would have felt like when she was sat in that slave market thinking it was over. And then the one that loved her so much came to buy her back and restore that relationship. Just thank God for all that he's done for you this morning. Habakkuk 1:13 says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. We have an enemy who seeks to destroy us, but he only has linear vision. He's stuck in space and time, just like we are. He's not all-seeing. He's not all-knowing, although he might try and tell you that. He thought, checkmate, I've won. I've conquered God. But he didn't understand the rules entirely. God's amazing grace, that free gift of forgiveness, saves us from all an enemy that Satan would do to try and destroy us, to derail us, to tell us lies about God. I just want you to catch that this morning. God's love is for us, and his holiness sets the standard. There's no compromise when it comes to his holiness, which is really good news. He says what he means, and he means what he says. The price is paid for us. It heals us. It redeems us. Use some Bible words, it atones for us, it removes our sin. It defeats the rule and power of Satan in our lives, and it brings us new life. So we haven't come here to go, oh, this is it, this is wretched, I've got to confess all these things. God says, let's just get rid of the garbage. A as Christianity explores, so let's step into the glory. There is so much glory and there is so much garbage. And God says, let's empty that. Let's get rid of that and step into those things. A newness of life. God has got a plan for every one of us in the room. And I think that's incredibly exciting. And we've got to spur one another on to those things. Everything God does for us speaks about his holiness. Everything he has done is to deal with our sin issue. And we were challenged on the midweek, the Thursday midweek thing. Are we prepared to let ourselves off the hook of sin? Do we let ourselves off these things? Or do we say, well, actually, I probably deserve all of this. It's a lie. God says, get yourself off that hook. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. That's just fantastic, isn't it? Be kind and compassionate to one another. It's in the Bible. We've got to do it. Forgive each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. We need to live as God has made us to be. And if we're not in perfect relationship with each other or good stead relationship with that, if we're not forgiving one another this morning, whatever that costs and whatever it takes, we're not living that life. Is God speaking to you this morning? And if he is, it's because he wants to do something about it. This message was planned months ago. Whatever's happened over this last week or whatever's happening next week, this is the point in time where God says, I want to speak to you this morning. If God is speaking to you, bless him for that. Step into that. Give whatever you need to give to him this morning, that he will take that from you and give you that new life. This is the wonderful God that we've got, is it not? Let's close.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.